League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glad you could join us, and off we go here. After a late one, did you stay up for that? Did you see the game-winning homer?
I didn't get to see it. I fell asleep.
Yeah, it's too late. It sucks.
But
I was up.
Late.
I saw it. Nice shot. I mean, I didn't know if you Lance McCullers was hurt again. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, but not arm.
No, not arm. Just something else. It's like when Forrest Whitley threw and, you know, hey, came in and he did a nice job, and then, oh, wait a minute, he got a hurt knee. What?
Yeah.
What the hell? What? And now Lance with the, he did something at home or something. I don't know. It wasn't baseball related, and he's out for 15, I think. So Ryan Gusto came in and did a really nice job. 8 strikeouts, 1 walk, and, you know, they're in a precarious situation here. Bringing up Jason Alexander is coming up, a guy who pitched 4 outings last year, and he's going to throw. He was with the A's, actually, so he's used to pitching in really crappy ballparks, I guess. So he's gonna be here, and off we go with yet another injury. But we do have a big injury update. Did you see Chandler, or the Astros put out, and Chandler Rome retweeted it. The injury update for our Houston Astros, and it's pretty promising. You got Spencer Arrighetti is currently throwing off flat ground. Okay, he's going to report to the Astros facility in Florida later this week. JP France threw a live. I forgot he was alive.
Yeah,
he threw a live BP on Friday. Yeah, tossing 20 pitches in the outing, his second live BP since his surgery. Luis Garcia threw 25 pitches in a side session. Christian Javier pitched last Wednesday in Florida, throwing 40 pitches in a side session.
It's been quiet, but, well, maybe it's just because we don't see the Chronicle as much anymore.
40 pitches is nice.
Although Chandler Rome's not with the Chronicle, but, yeah, no, 40 pitches is very, the update from Chandler Rome was very,
promising.
Well, I look at it as promising. They're actually throwing.
Yeah, I was shocked. Well, the Astros actually put this out on their release, so that was nice. Yordan Alvarez and Zach DiCenzo stayed back in Houston to continue their rehab. They have not progressed to hitting yet. That sucks. Pedro Leon, no one cares. Chaz McCormick left oblique strain, is in Houston this week and started a hitting and throwing progression. You know what? That is a very promising, considering we lost yet another pitcher yesterday in Lance McCullers, and Ryan Gusto had to step up, and so now your six man rotation has Colton Gordon, Ryan Gusto, Brandon Walter, Jason Alexander, Framber Valdez, and Hunter Brown. That's your six man rotation for a first place team.
Golly,
that is incredible. Give Manager of the Year award to Joe Espada right now. Just hand it to him. Because there is nobody doing more with less than Joe Espada is. Now, it sure would be nice, after putting up a 10 spot on Friday, to get more than 4 hits in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be good? Don't
you
think?
So the Astros, in their last 3 games, have scored a grand total of three runs in the first eight innings of those three games.
Yeah. They had eight hits yesterday, so they did have more hits.
I'm just saying runs scored.
Right.
In the eight innings of the games,
right,
in their last three games, they have scored a grand total of three runs in those first eight innings. You know,
and
in the last win they had on Sunday, they scored in the ninth and tenth. They didn't score even in the first eight innings. Against Minnesota in the game prior, they had scored two runs and then nothing else until they got a late one. And then, yesterday, obviously, they scored an early run, and that was it. That was a wrap. And they got hits, but they did not threaten.
How about – so I've told you about this MLB play thing where you pick a guy every day, and if you get to 57, you get $5.6 million.
Yeah, it seems impossible.
There was a guy last night that was on 50.
He was on 50?
And he took Jacob Wilson, and he went 0 for 4.
Oh, that's your best friend.
I love Jacob Wilson. He's hitting 362 after his 0 for 4. Holy crap. And Jacob Wilson went 0 for 4 against Ryan Gusto.
I'm praying on everyone's downfall in that whole game. I want nobody to win.
I can't get past 13. I got to 13, and I thought what I did. This guy was at 50. He was 7 away from $5.6 million.
Until Trey Hendrickson gets a new contract, I am cheering against him.
You're out? You're out on this? So
until
for those
Trey
of you don't know,
gets his second contract, you pick a third contract.
You pick a different player every day. If he gets a hit, you move. You know, your streak moves on. If you get past DiMaggio, you get $5.6 million. Go try it. I'm telling you, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. So I feel so bad for that guy. He took one of my favorite players, Jacob Wilson, and Jacob didn't come through for him. He will forever hate. Forever.
Oh no. Jacob Wilson. Yeah, I just hope he doesn't say anything ugly on social media. Because people do now is they hate him, but now they have a way to reach out. Well, used to be you would hate a guy and then you just punch your drywall and you'd have a hole in it and that would be that. Now you can reach out and make threats to them.
Right. Listen, I don't know how much that dude that threatened Lance McCullers, I don't know how much he lost. This guy lost a potential $5.6 million.
Well, I think he lost that, but hopefully we'll see. He may lose some freedom. It's funny. I think we're starting to maybe see a little more accountability online. The girl, the Ole Miss story from the girl who's local, that's going to be a massive settlement that they're going to have to pay out. ESPN,
it already is, right? For a couple other guys?
What's that?
It already is for a couple guys.
Well,
they settled with a couple, right? Already?
No, not yet.
Okay.
No. But they're going to – she goes first, and it's going to be – Pat McAfee is paying a big price. I don't know. Well, it'll probably be ESPN, I guess, who's paying that price. And then Barstool, massive price for their role in propagating a lie. And ruining it. So multiple people will be suing them and winning. It's already just a matter of
she's going to be set for life. Good for her.
Yeah. Exact
good
amounts.
For her.
Well,
good for
but
her.
More importantly than that is some accountability. You can't just do this stuff. The people who made up those lies – they're being charged.
Yeah, they should be charged.
I think there's two or three students who are being charged. The guy who did that to Lance McCullers, they found out who he was. He lives overseas.
Yeah, so. But he's overseas. They haven't charged him yet. They haven't charged him.
You can always hit him with a stun gun or just punch him in his face hard.
Well, that's not what the punishment
is.
Well, that's
street
today.
Justice. Maybe he's going to catch some street justice.
Stun. You are big on this.
Yeah, it's not going to kill you, but it's going to. Yeah, it doesn't kill you, but you know what?
You won't
it's
do it again.
It's what I call like to call a deterrent. If you got a spanking from your dad when you were young, it was a deterrent. It was in my house, at least. I don't know about everyone else's soft ass dad, but in my house, I didn't want a spanking from Larry Zerline. I'll just let you know that right now.
Yeah.
And if you know you're gonna get hit with a stun gun, maybe you don't say stupid stuff online on social media.
Yeah. No, I agree with
maybe
that.
Maybe that doesn't happen anymore.
No, a stun gun will definitely be a deterrent.
Let's take that anonymity away and let's see.
Yeah.
Take the anonymity away. You want to say something about someone? That's fine. Let them know who you are so they can look up all the information on you and put some business on you. Let's even it out. Let's do that. all of a sudden, that's not fair. They shouldn't have an ability to clap back at me. I shouldn't be. You're not. I'm just a regular person.
So you were in favor of what Will Smith did to Chris Rock?
No.
He said something and then
did
about
he come out with a stun gun?
No, he went up and hit him because he said something about it.
Those were
What's the difference?
Jokes that a comedian told. Should Ricky Gervais be stun-gunned?
He felt they were insulting. Globes? So if you're on stage and you do it, it's okay.
He didn't threaten to kill his family.
He talked about his family in a way he didn't like, so he went up there and slapped them. Hey, don't talk. Keep your
did he
keep
go to
my
jail?
Name's wife. Keep my wife's name out of your mouth.
First of all, if he would have done a stun gun,
I'm just trying to figure out what's good and what isn't. If you talk about my family, I get to slap you in the face?
No, if you threaten to kill somebody, there should be punishment. If you threaten to kill somebody online, threaten to kill somebody's family because they lost a bet for you, there should be punishment. Let's go ahead and in the real world, there's punishment.
Well, yeah, you can slap somebody.
Chris Rock
face,
got
though.
A real world punishment.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, did Will Smith get arrested?
I think he might have been detained, but they didn't
arrest
him.
He wasn't detained. He wasn't anything. He got applause by
people
in the audience.
Right after he won an Oscar.
Well, yeah, he was going to win the Oscar either way.
I'd like to thank Chris Rock's cheek. I'd like to thank everyone who watched that show, iRobot, all that stuff. Take the anonymity away and let people know who you are. All of a sudden, it gets real cowardly. No more.
Yep. There's a lot of.
I'm in a negative headspace after listening to, I haven't even finished it yet, the Sam Harris podcast called Countdown to Superintelligence, where he visits with one of the premium workers of a guy who is at the forefront of AI intelligence, who basically has something called something like AI 2027, where that's his projection is 27 or 28 is when super intelligence comes into being. And once that happens, good night. Good night. Because this guy felt so strongly about this that he wouldn't even sign an NDA to keep his money that he had vested. His shares, his stocks, whatever. He said, no, listen, I'll give up all that money. I'm not signing an NDA. I need to tell people about what's happening. He worked at OpenAI, and he's like, this is really, really bad. Really bad. And they go, okay, then you're not going to get your money. He goes, all right, you know what? I'll just not take the money. It's my moral duty to tell people about this. And he painted a rather bleak picture. Basically, that AI just is conniving. Sycophancy, which is exactly what I told you happens with Craddock, my guy at A&M, where he asked AI, why did you just lie to me? He goes, okay, I just wanted to make you happy and tell you. They will intentionally tell you you're really, like, your ideas are brilliant. Like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. This is great. They try to manipulate
you. So you're saying they can fool us. They're smarter than us. Okay.
Yeah. but they can suck up to us and trick. Look, we're tricked easily by dumb stuff I'm not, but I'll just say we as a society. We're so stupid, we get tricked by the dumbest, stupid stuff online. You don't think super intelligence is going to run circles around these idiots who are running around believing everything they see online? They're going to get NBA Centel does a number on everyone. You don't think a super intelligent AI is going to be able to destroy people? Get out. Come on. I see some of the dumbest stuff online that people believe and run with and share.
All right. Let's share what's going on with Kevin Durant. We will do that on the other side. There's a lot of stuff floating around, a lot of stuff. Let's do that on the other side right now on ESPN 97.5.
Not my generation's fault, Dell.
It is.
No, it's not my generation's fault. And it's not my generation's fault if Kevin Durant comes
raised
here
the dummies.
For too much because I fought against
your generation
it.
Raised the dummies.
Well, there are some dummies.
Yeah, it was more my generation that raised those dummies.
He's got kids in his 20s. I'm not saying his kids are the dummies. He's got a kid in his 20s.
Well, you're not saying they're not.
Hey, I don't know.
He's working in the Alabama football office, not on AI.
My kid doesn't. Like, Alex not even post. He takes pictures. I said, you don't post any pictures. He goes, why would I post pictures? I'm just doing stuff that's fun. I said, thank you. Well, I like that.
Well, Drake is saving lives, though. See?
Drake's so, saving lives. He doesn't post pictures
on. I'm not putting it on them. I'm saying his generation of parents are the ones who
no,
raised
he
the
keeps dumb. Acting like Gen Z hasn't done anything absolutely outrageous just yet.
Gen Z has done nothing. They're so lazy.
I know. They're just quiet quitting. What are they doing?
Yeah.
You
all right, let's break. Let's talk Zadik Jeweler, and when we come back, let's talk about this Kevin Durant thing. What's going on?
Next, yeah, right here, so Zadik Jewelers, they just had their dads and dogs. They said their dads and dogs format at the location on Friday and Saturday. It's 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. Zadik Jewelers is really a spot for if you're set for, if you want to have a wedding next spring, you say, you know what, I think it's time for me to ask her. I'll never forget when I asked my wife to marry me. It was happening way before then. It was the fall. And I said, you know what? I think she's the one. Happened in 2001. And it was a process then where I said, well, what am I going to do? And I had to plan a lot of stuff out because my dad was a coach for the Cleveland Browns at the time. And so, you know, there's only certain times we could have the wedding. And there was a lot going on there. I didn't know about Zadik Jewelers. Well, I knew the name. Well, I'm telling you now, because I know all about it, if you've got any issues or concerns, just go on to Zadik. Their experts there will help you find. They've got so many places they source diamonds from. Every cut, clarity, the quality's exceptional. They can custom design a ring for you. It is going to be an amazing opportunity for you to make the best showing on that day when you get engaged. They will help you with the whole process. And then moving forward from there, you know, we're talking about a ring that she's going to remember for all of eternity. It's going to be an amazing opportunity for you to enjoy that day together, both the wedding day and the day that you get engaged. I remember it with my wife just like it was yesterday. I want you to have those same memories. Go to 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. Go to Zadik Jewelers, Zadik.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, so much going on with this Kevin Durant thing right now. If you were wondering whether or not Ime Udoka would like to have Kevin Durant, the answer is yes, according to Hoops Hype. Udoka's fondness for Durant is profound. The question is, where does Rockets executive Rafael Stone fall on that spectrum? Udoka and Durant were together in Brooklyn. And Udoka was also Boston's coach while the Celtics discussed potentially trading Jaylen Brown in the package for Durant. So, apparently, according to Hoops Hype, he really wants him, whether or not the Rockets want to. Now, and apparently, Kelly Eco says that the Rockets have sent a trade idea to the Suns, and it was underwhelming.
Fred, and
it's believed to have
straight up Fred for you get Fred in the 10th pick. That's what you get.
No, Jaylen and the 10th pick, and apparently they want a lot more. And I've seen so many different opinions on this thing. One is, screw the Suns. They're going to get rid of Durant. They're going to suck. Don't give them any of their picks back because you got 27 and 29. Do not give up any of those, either of those picks.
Yeah, that's
true. I've also seen Kevin Durant is the Justin Verlander move that the Rockets need to put him over the top. And, you know, I could certainly see where that I can understand that argument as well. The question is exactly how much are they willing to part with, and you know the Astros didn't have to part with anything at the big league level to get Justin Verlander, and whether or not the Rockets have to give up any pieces that would be important. There was a piece in it's a Space City Scoop. Boy, they don't like Jalen Green at all. Huh, Del? Del put it in the rundown. If you thought I hate Jalen Green, you should read this piece.
Yeah, it's a less than complimentary depiction of Jalen Green's time here. He was expressly pointed to as a guy who cost them the Warriors series. Even I didn't say that. I mean, you could make an argument, but it was said that Jalen Green was the reason they didn't win that series. The Rockets played 4-on-5 for good bits of that series on offense because Jalen Green was a non-factor. That's a writer who wouldn't mind Jalen Green being thrown in a package for Kevin Durant if needed.
Yeah, I mean, if it took that, I could see it. Anything beyond that, I'm no good with.
You're not good with Jabari?
No.
Or Tari?
No.
Role players?
No, absolutely not.
Well,
not
they're
Kevin
role
Durant.
Players.
Not
okay.
for Kevin Durant. No, they're important. They're part of the 8-man rotation. And they're important parts that could both start at any point and could end up being better than Dylan Brooks. So, no, well, I'm not really.
What about Reed Shepard?
I mean, that's one I think could come back and really hurt you, but I would be willing to think about it. But not like, look, this is a buyer's market for Kevin Durant. There's not Kevin Durant has already set a limitation on who can go after him. You don't have to bid against yourself.
Well, apparently Rudy Gobert is the best offer so far that they've gotten.
Well, there you go.
He's the best player.
Good
but
luck with Rudy.
Whether or not he wants to go to Minnesota is another question.
Yeah, I wish you luck with Rudy Gobert.
Yeah. I
mean, why are we kowtowing to everything Kevin Durant wants? And there's not a market for Kevin Durant. It's a very, very small market. Kevin Durant has this is what happens when you let a player artificially limit the market. You don't have to. You got to be smart. You cannot. Don't bid against yourself. Do not bid against yourself. Who's out there? You just said the best offers, Rudy Gobert. So don't give something up that you don't have to give up. I mean, I get that financially it's got to come to a certain number, but don't give up quality players if you don't have to. There's no need to. You can have Cam Whitmore. That's fine.
If you throw in Cam Whitmore, that means you're throwing in more because he doesn't make enough to make a deal work, as you said. So Cam Whitmore plus extras.
Plus Jalen.
Plus, and that still doesn't make up the salary.
I know. So you'll have to see if does Jay Sean Tate still under contract? I don't think he is. I don't know if he is. That's the whole problem I have with this deal is that you don't really have, you know, you'd almost have to do Dylan Brooks. You'd have to go Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green. And if that's the case, I'm probably not giving up the 10th pick. You could fade that because you have Jabari Smith and Tari Eason on your team. You could legitimately fade moving Dylan Brooks, but I don't. I mean, what are you fundamentally doing now for Kevin? Once again, if Kevin Durant has his typical injury issues, and if he has it in the postseason, which he's had, what, two of the last four postseasons? It turns into a nothing trade for you because the only reason you have him is to try to win a championship. It's the only reason you're getting him. So he has to be available and healthy during the postseason. And that's unless you just are getting him because you want to win that Governor's Cup.
Well, they put Steven Adams on a plan. They could do the same thing. And he was right there ready to go
but that's
in the playoffs.
Come on. Steven Adams is a bench player. Kevin Durant is a star.
Well, you're talking about saving him for the playoffs. If the main goal is to win a title, you could play Kevin Durant 60 games
the problem is Kevin Durant is older than Steven Adams is. He doesn't look like it, but he's a lot older than Steven Adams.
He has played more games the last 2 years than Steven Adams has.
Yeah, but he's a lot older. I know, and he's a lot older. And so I think that you know, even if you put them on a management plan, we still see guys who are injured, even with management plans. It's like it doesn't matter. Once you go through a certain amount of time, I just think the Durant thing, Durant needs to be a Miami Heat. And we need to get into Dell's team.
You are risk-averse to this particular trade, understandably.
I am.
Understandably.
I think there's a hard line in the sand on who you're willing to give up.
And in this salary cap era, this version of it, there's a finite time you're going to be able to afford all the guys you love right now. So, whether it be Jabari when his deal comes up, Tari Eason when his deal comes up, this is the reason. Now, it's different levels of contract, but these are the reasons, like, Cat is no longer a Wolf because they weren't willing to pay. And they had to take on a cheaper contract, and they made a conference final. Now they got to decide where they're going to pay Julius Randle and Jaden McDaniels. These things will continue to pop up. So the question is, I know everyone thinks there's like a 5-6 year window with these guys, but there really isn't. So now you have to figure out, is the risk worth what could happen? And it's always going to be a could. There's no guarantees. So are you trading away guys you may not be able to afford later on anyway to fast forward your chances for a title?
It's not an easy, like, there's a trade, there's a world where the trade for Kevin Durant makes sense to me. There is. But it's got to be, but it cannot be at the, it cannot be where you're overpaying against yourself, in essence, where you're overpaying against yourself for a guy who, like, there is a risk analysis that you must do with Kevin Durant. What are the positives? What are the negatives? Obviously, every trade, you should do that. But you should never go in just saying it's a yes. You should be open-minded or a no. You should be going open-minded and say, okay, what do we get in return? What are the odds of this happening? Well, I mean, Houston is an analytical team. They still rely heavily on the analytics. There should be probability stuff that they're running right now in the background. But ultimately, Ime Udoka is going to have to be okay with certain personalities and types leaving his team. Jalen Green, I don't think Jalen Green is gonna kill Ime Udoka to lose him. But I will say this. You know, I was talking to my buddy Rodney, who played college basketball. Rod and I talk a lot of basketball. I said, you know, Jalen Green was flummoxed by zone defense. And he said, a lot of that as a coach, that's one of your jobs, is to work with your player on becoming comfortable against certain elements. That's what a coach does. He coaches you, hey, instead of doing this, do this. He said, I don't think Ime Udoka did a very good job with Jalen Green against a certain look that he was having in that series. Jalen just, you know, he said he never adjusted well to it. And he said, I think a lot of that was on Ime Udoka, but Ime doesn't get any, and he likes Ime Udoka. And he also pointed this out, and it's true. I went back and looked at the stats. He goes, how come Alperen Şengün never gets any? No one ever talks about him in that Golden State series. Go look at how he shot. And you know what? The first game, he shot 61%. He was 11 of 18. After that, it was 6 of 15, 40%. 7 of 18, 38.9%. 12 of 28, 42.9%. Then he had a 6 of 9 game where the Rockets cruised, so it's really a nothing game. Then 8 of 20, 40%. Then 9 of 23, 39%. He shot like a shooting guard, like a high-volume shooting guard that's not a real good shooter. Alperen did not shoot well. He just shot a lot of shots. He shot a lot. But we're talking about a post player who shot in the 40% range or below in 5 of the 7 games. That's not good enough either.
And against, a lot of times against Podzimski.
Exactly. Against well, they had Podzimski, that's right, playing him, and they had Draymond Green, who he's bigger than Draymond Green. You think he could go over? Now, Draymond is a very good defender, without question. But, I mean, that was not like – and his free throw percentage obviously was
well, but,
not
but,
as good.
Okay. He wasn't as good, but Jalen was awful.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, going forward, I there is no discussion here. It's Alpi and not Jalen.
Unless Giannis is the solution, and then I think they would move out. Yeah.
Well, we have some sound that is crazy about Giannis that we can play. We're going to play a little bit later in the show. Right now, we're going to break 713-780-3776. The number, if you want to get in here, what do you think about this Rockets talk? What do you think about your Astros? You're more than welcome to get in. We had the NBA Finals game last night. We had the first no-hitter at the College World Series in forever. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. We asked for callers. We got them. So let's get to it. What do you think of this possible trade between the Rockets and Suns? What do you think of the Astros? What else? What do you want to talk about? Whatever it is, 713-780-3776. Stafford's been waiting. What's up, Stafford?
Hey, man. What's up, y'all, man? I got a lot of thoughts on this. I'm going to keep it brief. But, man, look. Don't bail Phoenix out. You got to look at it. There's only three players since the year 2000, only three players. Jalen Green is 23 years old. There's only three players that were the star, that were one of the top two stars on their team that won an NBA championship. And that's Kobe Bryant, Tony Parker, and Kawhi Leonard. And they played with two of the those are two of the eight greatest players of all time. The numbers don't support really trading for Kevin Durant, because look at it. Every team that's traded for Kevin Durant, it's not. It's plummeted. Brooklyn plummeted. Phoenix plummeted, man. Like, I don't understand the rush by everyone to go ahead. Like, if you could guarantee me we win the title, then yeah, but that's not even a guarantee, man. We got a squad, man. Let's let Jalen Green grow. And the last thing I'm going to say is this, man. Jalen Green's first playoff series, he averaged 13, 14 points, something like that. And there's a player right now in the NBA who is won a championship, who in their first playoff series was the star of their team, and they averaged 50. They sucked their first playoff series, and that player is Jason Tatum.
I mean, like, look,
I get it. I really hope Jalen Green this offseason really wakens him up, because he said he don't want to get traded, so I hope this put a fire under his belly and he come back and he seek vengeance, man, because – I think, man, we got a squad, man. And I don't even think Jalen Green's the best player on the team. I think Amen Thompson is the best player on the team.
I think we all agree. Here's the problem. Thanks for the call, Stanford. Here's the problem. The problem is, does he have the dog to come back with a vengeance? Is that in him? I think we all think he can get better and be a good player. Like, it wouldn't be bad to run it back. I'd be okay with it. The problem is, if you're looking at Kevin Durant, how much longer does Kevin Durant have? And if Kevin Durant's going to get traded this offseason, then you're not going to get your hands on him like next year. If you wanted to wait one more year, maybe there's another player. And that's what I would argue, John. There's always, like, at the end of the day, there's always another player that you could potentially add. It's not like Kevin Durant, you know, unless AI shuts everything down next year, we'll still have basketball next year. And even if you run it back and it doesn't go well, you still have a variety of players that you could potentially target to make your team better in a trade. It's not like it's Kevin Durant or bust. But the time frame of this, if they like Kevin Durant, may speed this up to where you don't have the answer on Jalen Green yet, but you still have to just make a smart projection and work off of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's other players. As a matter of fact, AJ, who texts me during the show, he says, what about let's get Derek White.
I love Derek White, but I don't, you know, why would they give him up?
Well, money. They're in some trouble. He's got, and you know what? The money would work.
You're trading for money, though. You're trading for Jalen Green. You're trading for money.
Well, he wants to give a Breed Shepherd Jabari in the 10th pick.
Oh, what a great deal for Boston. That's not enough for Derek White.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Reed hadn't shown anything this year.
Yeah, but he's a white guy in Boston.
They already got one. Pritchard.
But they need more. They always need more.
White?
You can never have enough white guys.
Derek White? I'm sorry.
Right.
They got Bailey.
Baylor Power.
Shireman, whatever his name is. They got plenty.
Yeah, they got
Shireman
some
dude.
They and got, they're looking at TJ McConnell now.
They got Luke Kornet. They've got the shooter, number 30.
Yeah.
They got plenty.
Boston's got some whiteys over there.
I think Indiana's got to look at TJ McConnell more. He was the only guy out there last night.
He was incredible in the third quarter.
Holy crap. Single-handedly brought him back. It was arguably, last night was arguably the worst game by a player in an NBA Finals, Tyrese Halliburton. Zero field goals, there were stats that were just like, he arguably had the worst game ever in NBA Finals history. He had 0-0-0, he had 4 points for the game. I mean, you talk about Jalen Green. Talk about overrated.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this guy sucks.
He sucks.
I've been saying he's overrated.
Yep. Well, you and every NBA player.
NBA player.
Like seven or eight of them, actually.
So you got 3 years of Derek White at $30 million. He's a scorer now. You need, guys, you have to do something about the scoring. You have to do something. So let's just know, that I know, Stafford, you want to keep it going – They have to do something about being
able. Is there
able.
Any
they
chance Jalen Green's still getting offense. Better, though, John? His question is, and I think, yes, there's still a chance Jalen Green is getting better. Most players aren't. Michael Jordan kept getting better after year four. Olajuwon, pretty much every player still getting better after the age of 22.
I wouldn't make the Tatum comp because Tatum was like 19 years old at the time. He was
goodness gracious, Jason Tatum.
No, but Jalen even if you
no, but in the playoffs,
even he's talking about his first playoff appearance. Jason Tatum was like a teenager when he made his first playoff appearance.
This is 4 years in.
Yeah, he was a rookie when he made his appearance.
Jalen Green's got a kid. He's got two kids.
He's got two kids. One
he's got
that's
a stepson and a son.
He's got a kid his age. I mean, so goodness gracious, no, Jason Tatum is not the comp. With Jalen Green, not to come. He's been around a while. I understand. Yeah, listen, you can make the argument, and I'm not disagreeing with you, Stafford. You can make the argument, but you have to do something. You have to do something to get some offense. You are not winning the championship with this offense. You're just not. And this is now it's getting time. Like, listen, what Dell said was absolutely right. This window is, especially in the NBA, all of these first-round picks, high first-round picks, are coming due. They're going to come. Jabari, what are you going to do with Jabari? How much are you going to give Jabari? I mean, that's coming up. You got to make a decision on Cam Whitmore. You got a lot of decisions to make. Oh. You did take care of Alpi and Jalen. They're going forward.
Those are very important.
But those are very friendly contracts.
Very, very friendly.
You know, the Jalen one is easily moved.
Yeah.
I mean, Jalen is a deal.
Because Jalen's not a scrub like some people in the city act. Jalen's not a scrub.
He's not a scrub.
He's getting better. He's getting better defensively. He's starting to shoot a little bit better. He's playing with more confidence. He just had a really, really bad playoffs. And you're only as good as your last series in high-end basketball. I mean, that's just the fact. The Rockets ended up doing way better than anyone could have ever anticipated. But once you get there as a two seed and you lose a game seven and you have six bad games, if you're Jalen Green, it's just hard to get away from that. But Alperen Şengün did not have a great series, didn't shoot the ball well at all, except for two of the seven games. Five was poor shooting. Like they could have, but that's your point, John. The offense has got to improve. And that's why this Kevin Durant thing, that's why if it was the right deal, I'm okay with it. But I don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face or whatever. I just I don't want something where you take a long-term potential solution and you just try to cash it in for short-term success. I mean, although it may be what you need to do. Like, you don't feel like a desperate team where the window is snapping shut. Your players are all young players. Yes, there's going to be some players you may not keep because of salary stuff, but you can also move those players for future draft picks. I mean, there's still value. There's a lot of commodities on the Rockets. There's a lot of commodities. You got a lot of directions to go. I would just shoot higher than Kevin Durant, personally. If you're not going to run it back, shoot higher than, which I'm not a huge fan of just running it back just because I don't think Jalen Green is built for it. Personally, Stafford. I don't think Jalen Green comes back with a vengeance because he's got, like he might.
Well,
I don't know that
he's
wired like that.
I think that fueled this offseason for him.
Well, then give
that
it a
failure. That failure is sticking in.
Then you got to be okay with giving it a shot. And you know what? Some of it is on. You know, maybe some of it is on Ime Udoka's offense. Maybe he doesn't require. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's tricky. It's tricky because Amen Thompson is not.
I don't know
a
if you
standard.
Heard Dave Martinez. It's not coaching. There's the coaches are great and they do everything and it's on the players.
You got to tell people what he did. Over the weekend, Dave Martinez was asked, "How much of this is on the coaches and players?" He goes, "It's all on the players.
The coaches are working their asses."
He goes, "Coaches are working their asses off. Yeah. Players, we can't go out there and pitch for them. We can't hit for them. That's a separate conversation. I got that teed up as a topic because it's an interesting topic when you get down to it.
Yeah, right. It absolutely is. Tell who's next. Ira, what's going on, Ira?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Look, so, you know, you kind of stole from my thunder with running back. I just, I think that another year of coaching, and like you guys had just mentioned earlier with Green, he's still young. And, you know, looking at the finals now, you know, we got two brand new teams in the finals, and they're led by two young, dynamic players that were traded from the original team. So you look at Shea Gilbert, that's the name of it, but he was drafted by the Clippers. Clippers traded him. Now he's the MVP. Halliburton, same thing. He comes from Sacramento, go to Indiana. Now he's their top dog. So I would hate for us to give up so early on Jalen. He goes to another team, then he's bouncing into a superstar. Like, give him another year. You know, I don't think that we're in such a desperate mode that if we didn't give him another year, it would hurt his trade value or what have you. And just run it back one more time. Hopefully, they can make some coaching, different coaching decisions and put in some different on the offense. And man, you're absolutely right. Alfred, man, he didn't take no rocks in this, man, and he threw a bunch of bricks in a playoff, man. He missed a lot of easy shots. If he can come back and focus his game a little bit more, get maybe another 6 to 8 points, because you know really you want to elevate in the playoffs, and you got to. And, you know, we take it back to our Club City days, man. Elijah Warren was averaging about 26, maybe 28 a game. And he got to the playoffs, he bumped that up another 8 to 10 points. So, and that's what the superstars got to do. So, hopefully, man, we can get that going next year. And I'm excited about the Rockets, man.
All right, Ira, we appreciate it. I mean, there's another one. Don't do anything. Leave it alone. Let it grow.
I think there's more people who are in that online. It's really, it's a lot more than I even expected.
Although I do want to, no, I think a lot of people are done with Jalen. I think you'll be, there's a lot of people sitting there going, nah. Well, first of all, we're comparing Jalen Green to Shea, Tyrese Halliburton, and Jason Tatum. That's a little bit over. I think he's over his skis if we're talking about that. Jalen has all kinds of talent, and sometimes he really, really looks awesome. He looks great, but he ain't none of those guys. He's not close to those guys yet.
Those guys were better at their 19, 20-year-old seasons than Jalen was at his. And that's the other thing. You talk about the Tyrese Halliburton trade. Tyrese Halliburton had a year and a half with the Kings, and they traded him. Mistake, sure. But it wasn't four complete seasons. Shea, 1 year. And we know why the Clippers did it, because they needed to get Kawhi. Kawhi wasn't coming unless they got Paul George. Mistake, sure. But there wasn't the track record of 4 years to make a determination. They were put in a spot where they had to make a move early, and it blew up in their faces. I'm not saying Jalen's the player he will be at 26. I just look at a guy that I comp him to, not Tatum or Shea or Tyrese Halliburton. I look at Anthony Simons. Anthony Simons in that same mold of score.
Good player.
Good player, but he's now 26 years old. If you look at his numbers when he was 22, 23, they're kind of similar to Jalen. And there hasn't been this explosion of what if he turns himself into a lead guard for a finals team or an MVP. That has not come. Maybe that's environment in Portland. So I get shooting high, but there are also other comps there. And would you not trade Anthony Simons for 2 years of Kevin Durant?
Right. Right. I think that we got to look at a Jalen swap. Jalen Williams for Jalen Green and Jalen Petrie.
The Jalen Williams who went for 40 last night?
Yes. I would like to go Jalen Green and Jalen Petrie, okay?
You can't cross sports. You can't do that.
They also don't have a football team.
Yeah. I'm all for getting Jalen Williams for Jalen Petrie.
Yep.
Although we're short
on, Jalen Green.
Although we're short on safeties now. We had an influx, and now all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right, we got a break. John Daspit is what we're talking about now.
John Daspit is the people's lawyer, personal injury lawyer here in Houston. He, my first conversation with him, he's like, "Look, I'm not like those other guys," and he recognizes what it's like, you know, with some of the lawyers who are out there. It's kind of embarrassing. It's cartoonish, and I don't know why personal injury lawyers are this cartoonish, but a lot of them are. Not John Daspit. John Daspit says, "Look, it's a serious situation we're dealing with. If you watch that Astroworld documentary called Trainwreck on Netflix, you see all the people who died, all the people who were injured because it was so poorly planned. It was just, it's classic negligence." And John Daspit was involved, and I think maybe currently is still involved with some of the settlements there at that, you know, at that venue. People trust John Dassler because he gets results. And so results means your bills are all accounted for, your time missed from work or accounted for, loss of life is properly accounted for, loss of limb, whatever the injury may be or whatever the negligence may be, John Dassler is going to fight. He's going to work for you, and he's going to be on your side. And his winning percentage is off the charts. It's John Dassler and the Dassler Law Firm. Call 713-CALL-NOW or go to DassletLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
Hey, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Headlines this morning, Astros lost 3-1. For those of you who couldn't stay up and watch it, a walk-off homer last night. And Brian Abreu was the victim. Dude had a pretty good bat flip. I will say that. I will say it was a pretty good bat flip. He kicked some ass. And Lance McCullers, that was the... He's got a sprained right foot, I guess. Something happened at home or something. Did you see the play Luis Guillorme made?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw.
Did you see the catch he made out in left field?
Yeah, he has some value.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about value, but he was 1-for-3, played third. By the way, Isaac Paredes was back.
He
DH'd. But Guillorme played a great third. He made a couple of barehanded plays
coming up
the line, and then he made one of the best catches of the year last night. That was sweet.
Yeah, I saw it on the replay. Maybe has some defensive value. That's good. I don't know about the offensive value, but it was good seeing, as you mentioned, it was good seeing Paredes back. It's not like Paredes went gone a long time, but it's just good seeing him back because he's pretty freaking valuable when you're not scoring runs.
Yeah, 8 hits, 1 run last night. Jose Altuve, solo shot. And then the next time up, Altuve gets thrown at by Mitch Spence.
Yeah, right under the chin. And,
yeah,
you know,
awful.
What are we doing? Little Jose Altuve, because he hit a home run on you, and now you're going to come upstairs. Like, you're going to go 1987 rules on him? Like, what was he showboating around the bases? No.
He didn't even point. See, he's supposed to point to the bullpen after he homers.
Did he bat flip?
And he didn't. He didn't bat flip.
He didn't do any of that stuff.
He's pure class. But he forgot to point to the bullpen. And then when he got to the dugout, they said, "You didn't point up." And he had to go up on the stairs and he had to point to the bullpen.
Who was it? Somebody on Twitter I saw called him called the A's a bunch of homeless bums.
Called who?
The A's a bunch of homeless bums. Look at these homeless ass bums throwing in Jose Altuve.
That's accurate. That's accurate.
They are unparked.
They are unhoused. They certainly are unhoused. That little bandbox ballpark. Goodness gracious. You got Jason Alexander going to go tonight for the Astros because of the injury to Lance McCullers Jr. So we'll see. You know, I loved him in Seinfeld. We'll see how he can pitch tonight, though. The summer circuit continues this week. Going to be at the Downtown Aquarium on Friday from 12 to 6. And if you're looking for a great way to get a couple of brand-new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, a $4,000 value, just register at the promo table at the event. So get on out there to the Downtown Aquarium. Find the summer circuit schedule at ESPN975.com. Elsewhere, how about we had a no-hitter, the first since 1960 at the College World Series? This guy was, holy crap, was he any good? He struck out 19.
Mm-hmm.
19 strikeouts. I know it was Murray State, but Murray State got there. But Gage Wood,
You got a no-hitter in the aluminum bat era.
My God.
Yeah, that's really good. I don't care if it's Murray State either.
Apparently, the Murray State called timeout in the eighth inning to try to slow him down with two outs, and dude just went. He was crazy after he struck out the last guy. Man, he looks like – I'm watching it right now. Gage Wood looks like he is about to start a UFC match. I mean, he is breathing heavy and just – he is pumped. Dude looks pumped, and he strikes this dude out and then goes crazy afterwards. But that's cool. Arkansas stays alive for one more day. LSU was playing UCLA yesterday, 5-3 in the fourth inning, I believe, before the rains hit. So they will finish that up this morning. Right as we finish up this show, they are going to play that game. So for those of you that are College World Series fans. 713-780-3776 is the number.
Before we break, can I tell you what I just saw? Are you tagged on this? Yes, you were tagged on this. Did you see what Dan Holden sent us? He retweeted this thing from Kirgo.com. This is embarrassing. It's Bob McAdoo versus Pete Maravich in a game of horse, because they used to do this.
Yeah.
And they're showing like the misses. These are all it's all going at one time. Like, it's not all edited up. And you see the shots they're doing against each other, how basic they are, and how the other guy can't make. Like, it is embarrassing. This is Bob McAdoo and Pete Maravich.
Well, the first one was left-handed,
and the guy says Wilt definitely dropped 100 in this era. First of all, Wilt was maybe a little before that era, but it's not great. Like, I think the horse would be substantially more competitive in this era, and the players are better than that. I mean, they just are. Steph is better than Pete Maravich.
But man, I'll tell you what, it was fun back in the day watching the one-on-ones.
Oh yeah, you know, it was novel.
Larry Nance, and it was fun.
It was a novel thing, but it's some basic shots that are not. It's not great. It's not great.
I don't know. Some of them are pretty cool. Some of them are tough under the basket, and you got to do.
Not for that size.
Yeah.
Jumping from one box underneath and reverse shot. Like, that's not that crazy.
Well,
it was a different era. Like, look, basketball's better now, period. It is. Than 70s basketball, the players are substantially better. That's okay.
I'll put Pete Maravich up against any of them.
I will, too, and he'll lose badly. Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton beat him 15-1.
Oh, my God.
Halliburton
the guy
would
who
destroy.
Had zero last night?
Pete Maravich shot under 40% for his
zero
career.
Zero field goals.
Pete
last
was a
night.
Living brick.
Pete was the.
Not a living legend. A living
no, he's
brick.
A living brick.
Oh, my God.
Pete Maravich made. People would. Rockets fans would have hated Pete Maravich.
A brick personified, even.
Okay, snacks.
He
Holy
would have.
Crap.
Pete Maravich did some fancy passes. I like that. We had white chocolate. Pete Maravich, white chocolate lives because of Pete Maravich.
Pete
That's
Maravich
great. That's
was,
Pete Maravich's greatest accomplishment was bringing us Jason Williams.
Yeah. Pete Maravich would have been the greatest three-point shooter of all time.
What?
Three-point line.
He was terrible from three.
He scored 44 a game in college without a three-point line.
How many shots did he shoot?
Oh, what do you mean?
How many shots
did
he take?
Percentage. Go look at his percentage.
All right, I'll look at this.
He averaged 44 a game in
Pete
his career.
Pete was just a guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Pete was
snacks.
Just a guy.
Stop. Hot take, Snacks.
He is.
Hot take.
There's nobody in this.
Did he dribble with his left hand?
He shot 43% in college.
Did he dribble with his left hand?
He
also shot
probably.
From half court.
Dumb
so
shots.
So bad shot
bad
selection.
Bad shot selection.
Okay.
Yeah. You know why?
Shot.
Selfish.
Oh, didn't make others better.
Dude, he also shot, oh my God, foul merchant. He shot 14 free throws a game.
Yeah.
What the hell? What was this shot? What was this
foul
merchant?
Flop. And not one flop.
Yeah, it had to be flops.
No, zero.
Holy crap.
Flop.
He shot almost as many free throws as field goals. Holy crap. I've never seen anything like this.
In college, he was up to 14 free throws a game?
Wait a minute. He shot 39 shots a game in college. From the field, 39, 37, 37.
And he averaged 44 points.
How would you not
good.
Average that when you're averaging, when you shoot 39 times and then you shoot 13 free throws. Holy crap. Did anyone else touch the ball?
If you have more points than shots,
selfish.
Then you are, then you're
Don't worry.
Pretty damn
Pete
good.
Maravich, all he did was play one-on-one. That's in all. One-on-one contest and apparently at LSU since he shot damn near 40 shots a game.
The greatest ever. Stop talking. Denigrating.
Wow.
The highest.
That's a lot of shots.
That's a lot of shots to squeeze
game.
Off in a 40-minute game.
Basketball game.
40-minute game, and he's shooting a shot a minute.
Nearly getting up a shot a minute.
He's getting up a shot a minute. No one else can.
No, it's more because he's still going to the free throw line. So imagine how many times he's not making shots and he's fouled.
That's not considered a shot.
Yeah, he's getting up more than a shot a minute. Did he pass the ball ever?
He's the most selfish player that's lived in NBA history.
The greatest
case closed.
Ever. Don't denigrate
at least college history.
But he had floppy socks.
Yeah,
cool.
Tyrese Halliburton is Pete Maravich. Cool. Not here.
You let Tyrese Halliburton shoot 39 shots a game.
Tyrese Halliburton would be 0 for 39.
Are we doing this after you were lauding him for his clutch? Now
guilty.
You got to get after him.
Pete Maravich is guilty.
0 for
guilty
39.
Of ball hogging.
Guilty
of
ball hogging. He's selfish.
39.
We'd be trading him for Kevin Durant right now.
In his first year at LSU, because, you know, the freshman redshirted, sophomore year, 39.3 shots per game and 13 free throws. So he probably got up like 44 shots per game.
I mean, nobody. I don't even know how he averaged four assists a game. That's a miracle.
They were high up tempo.
I bet.
Yeah.
They better be.
He was the Caitlin Clark of his time. Okay. All right. Yep.
He shot 42% from the field.
All right, we got a break. You got to talk about Craig DeCerf.
Let's talk about Craig DeCerf. Let's talk about some of the great offers that they have right now. I talk about how great the company is, and I'm a strong believer. They sent it's just what they do. They sent flowers. They deliver flowers to my house for my wife. I saw them coming in. I'm like, hey, who the hell sent my wife these flowers? Because they were a great arrangement. It was Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, just a little something that they do. And it just gets their customer service. It's something that, you know, it's just they go that extra mile to make sure people are happy. I get the thank you card handwritten by Craig DeCerf yesterday. On the Buick side, let me talk about the Buick. I drive the Buick Enclave. My son drives the Buick Envision right now. And I wanted my wife to take a look at the Buick Envision as well. But she wanted an extra space in her trunk, you know, underneath where the wheel well is, and they didn't have that. So she said, I've got it in the Enclave. But right now, the Buick Encore GX, which is a smaller version of that vehicle, it's available for 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers. Plus, you get an additional $3,000 purchase allowance for current eligible non-GM owners and lessees, and there's no monthly payments for 90 days. I mean, the $3,000 back, the finance rate at 0.9, which is almost impossible to find these days, and then no payments for 3 months? Thank you very much. You should know Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton has lots of Buick Encore GXs to choose from. Go to the website today, start looking at what they have available, and then get on down to Angleton or start the car buying experience online at GulfCoastChevyBuickGMC.com. Located in Angleton, Buick, exceptional by design.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.